Welcome to KHC Podcasts, where we are here to help you manage your own health.
Okay, so welcome to today's podcast, which is I have been coerced into reading the Life Train program, the first part of that, right, which is basically the fundamentals of how it is you should understand your predicament. One of the difficult things about this podcast is going to be that at the very start there is a diagram which attempts to explain four different things all happening more or less at the same time, all dependent on each other. And I don't want to sort of start off by suggesting that one particular part of this is more important than the other by starting there, but I have to start somewhere. So essentially, we have the ebb and flow of our relationship with the world and the world's relationship with us. And that's down in a little square at the bottom that says the impact that we have on life. So that whenever we're moving around or interacting with others, we exert an influence on those things around us that have the opportunity to react to us. And our body then, of course, in turn reacts to those people, those things and those happenings, those noises, those lights, all those jokes, those insults, you know, that are in the world around us. And our body is reacting in a way to that based upon those sorts of things that we have learned from our past. Now, rather interestingly, when our body moves around and does all of these things and reacts, we then get some sensation or feeling of that happening to us in the form of, well, feelings, really. This, of course, has a knock-on effect on our capacity to think and what it is that we're thinking. So if we put a frown on and hunch our shoulders up in response to what it is that someone has said, then it's going to go with that that we're not very pleased about what it was that has been said. So we're going to have thoughts in our head which reflect that, which suggests that we are aware, because our bodies reacted badly, we have got an awareness that that is going on because of the sorts of thoughts that we have in our head. So those are the four different areas then of how our body reacts, the feeling of that happening, the effect that this has on our thoughts, and the impact that we have on life, which generates again how people are reacting to us and how we react to them. So it's an ongoing and endless cycle of things that are happening every second as we try to negotiate life and all the difficulties in it. So the subtext of that then is how the body reacts. So I'll just read this. Most of the reactions the body has to the big bad world, so to speak, are not under conscious control. The human body has the ability to sense what is happening around it using specialized senses. These senses transmit changes in the external world into the internal world of flesh and blood. And the body then reacts to this information automatically in ways that hopefully serve to prolong survival. That's what our purpose is. So there's usually little or no conscious knowledge that this is actually happening. Patterns of reactions or groups of reactions are quickly learned by a process known as implicit learning. So this means, implicit learning means that there's no conscious awareness that this learning has taken place. The pattern of reactions of the body is repeated when it is encouraged by what is now known as reinforcement. Reinforcement is just really a reward then for having done something in some form or other, so it encourages to repeat that behaviour. Explicit learning, which is what we'll all be familiar with, on the other hand, is the process of learning whereby there is conscious awareness of having been involved in the learning experience. But like trying to learn to play the piano, you're aware that you're going to have to struggle at it and learn to do this, right? Or reading from a book, or trying to remember your spelling at primary school. We want to teach you by explicit learning, by you spending time in order to learn it, about implicit learning, about the sorts of learning that goes on in our body that, generally speaking, we don't necessarily tend to acknowledge. And we now know that implicit learning, that's the stuff that we hardly know is happening, accounts for about 90% of all the information that has become stored in the brain. So I'll give you an example of that. So for a newborn animal, it is vital to quickly learn as much information as possible about the sort of world that it has been born into. What sort of happening or event in the world that might constitute a threat, for instance, will already have been learned, of course, by older, wiser animals that have remained alive. You know, that'll be the objective, of course. So for instance, it is essential to know when it is important to run away or hide quietly. How much attention is paid to particular noises or pattern of colours will be invariably gleaned from the reactions of the other animals around it. So that saves a whole lot of time when you copy others. Humans, of course, are swankier animals, but remain nonetheless animals. We did not always enjoy the benefits of central heating or garden parties. I think that's sort of an attempt at humour there. Families, of course, are potent sources of learning about how to react to the world around us. Not all this information leads then to a feeling of emotional ease or comfort with the world around us. In fact, people that are alive today have relied heavily on the transmission of non-verbal communication, unspoken, from one generation to the next, that has ensured survival through infinitely more straitened circumstances than that which we enjoy today. So parents pass on mannerisms, reactions to events, to their constantly observant children, and this creates carbon copy behaviours, which may be unique in particular families, and in turn create for the conscious human animal the feeling that the behaviour produces. So when you learn how to behave, then you're teaching yourself the familiarity of the feeling that goes with that. So that is implicit learning, and it is never recalled. You don't have a memory of you doing it. You're not really in control of it. Nor does it naturally enter our thoughts as any part of an explanation of our feelings. If you compare this to explicit learning, which preoccupies all of our thoughts. So there's a little story here, a little anecdote, right, to try and reinforce this. And this is essentially just clean from the evidence that in, I think this is a story from Portugal, right, where a girl called Isabel Quaresma, 10 years of age, lived in a chicken coop in Tabua in Portugal. She was thrown pieces of bread and shared the chicken feed. The reason why this had happened because her mother had been a mentally deficient rural worker. In 1980, she was taken by a district hospital worker and put into a Lisbon clinic. At that age, then, she was unable to walk, was not house trained. She gestured and made sounds like a chicken. With her hands, her body was severely stunted with a tiny head, probably due to malnutrition. One eye was clouded over with a cataract and probably the result of a hand scratch. Another story then is Jesse Boy. In the 1990s, a two-year-old Filipino known as Jesse Boy was discovered locked in a hen house where his stepfather confined him for 7 months after badly beating him. He had learned how to crow like a rooster, cluck like a hen, and pick up food as if his mouth were a beak, and he also flapped his arms like wings as if trying to fly. He was rescued by a childcare agency in the town of Manito after a tip-off, and after some unspecified time of therapy, he gave up his early morning crowing and ate at a table, but in 1999 he could still only speak in monosyllables. He also continued to flap his arms when playing around with other disadvantaged children. So the idea of this then, that behaviours, you see them, you copy them, you do them, you feel the effect of that in your body, as your body reacts and does what it is that we all do by copying behaviours and learning what that feels like. Next paragraph, the feeling of what happens. This is, of course, I'm assuming some of you may actually have the Life Train program in your hand at this stage and sort of going through this with me. I don't know how helpful that will be, but I'm sure that some people will let me know. So the paragraph, the feeling of what happens. From very early childhood, and some would say from a time even before our birth, our body copies behaviour patterns automatically. We sense and then copy. We have no choice, as we are programmed, so to speak, to learn as much as we can about the world that we have been and have been born into. We will learn everything we can copy. Then we find out what it feels like to have that behaviour happening in our own bodies. So not only do we copy the behaviours essential to survival, but we also copy behaviours that generate feelings of, for example, alarm or watchfulness, disinterest, discomfort, and a great deal of others' besides. In fact, we have many more feelings than we have names for. I don't know if anybody's ever tried that, but try to put your actual feelings into words and you'll be setting yourself an enormous task. It is interesting that we retain no memory of having learned all of these reactions and remain unaware that these behaviours have not always been a part of us. So these behaviours are usually collections of tiny movements that our bodies make in response to happenings outside us. They prepare us for what is likely to happen next. And we learn from direct personal experience and from others who have already had experience of what is likely to happen next. So we learn from other people's expectations. And we learn from our own sense of experiences when things do happen. Our brain makes predictions about what it is that's going to happen next based upon the experiences we've had in the past. So we notice how others prepare themselves for tensing, by tensing parts of their bodies in particular ways in the expectation of what it is that's going to happen next. And we learn to do all of that. Learn to prepare ourselves for what it is that's likely to happen next based upon what everyone else is doing. And we do all of this using our senses of the world outside and around us. This produces a feeling of our body reacting to the world. So the next paragraph is the effect that these experiences and these physical experiences inside our body, which you describe as feelings, have on our thoughts. This is the most important component in understanding a life training program, and hopefully will encourage you to realize how our thoughts are totally dependent on the feeling of what is happening all the time in our bodies. In fact, our thoughts arise from the feeling of what is happening inside us. It is as if our thoughts serve only to put into words what we are feeling inside us. For instance, when we feel sad, we will have sad thoughts, and when we feel happy, we will have happy thoughts. When we feel tense, our thoughts will also be tense. This is, of course, an oversimplification, but it is a good place to start. What sort of thoughts would we have when we are having a feeling that is not easily described with words, such as sadness, happiness, or tension? Another good question is, would we think the same thoughts if we were feeling differently? And the answer is, we definitely wouldn't. We can't get lost in our thoughts. So now include the fact that when we offer ourselves explanations of why we are feeling the way we do, we only offer ourselves thoughts about the things we have learned explicitly. Our thoughts never include as an explanation things that we have learned implicitly, even though 90% of the learning is implicit. I hope this is a surprise. Certainly, I think it's an experiential thing. It's something that you become aware of as you sort of immerse yourself in the life train program, which is trying to handhold the people who are determined to escape from the traditional feeling of what happens and that endless sort of torment of thoughts that accompanies that in their heads. So we now know more about the influence of feelings have on our thoughts than at any time before, and this is transforming and has transformed, take it from me, this information is transforming the way in which health services are being delivered. Don't worry if you have any difficulty in understanding the following explanation. The Life Train program will help you to discover the connection between thoughts and feelings by asking you to participate in activities that will allow you to make the connection for yourself. Remember the difficulty anyone would have in order to explain how to ride a bicycle to someone else? It's impossible, right? You can't tell someone how to ride a bicycle. A person has to learn for themselves. You can issue a lot of helpful instructions towards that end, but at the end of the day, it is the experience of learning how to ride a bicycle is the feeling of riding a bicycle. It is often a lot easier to learn things just by doing them. So, and that's the principal point of the Life Train program. When we think, we will follow a thought in our head. So it'll give you a dilemma, a problem, or a conundrum. We'll follow that thought through to a point where it matches exactly what we're feeling at that time. So if our problem is simple, when we've arrived inside ourselves, that we feel that we've reached the conclusion to our thoughts. So we stop thinking at a point where the thought that we have in our head sort of matches what we feel. So the thought will then be somehow equivalent to the feeling we are experiencing. And in the Life Train program, we call that an emotionally equivalent conclusion. So we draw a conclusion which is equivalent to the emotions or feelings that we have. At this point, the thought we are having will feel right, as if it is the correct thought to have. It is not the only thought that we're capable of having, but one thought above all other thoughts will feel the most appropriate. I suspect most people know this to be true already. Hi. Well, let's try some people watching in a restaurant or, if you're lucky enough, in an airport lounge. When we look closely, even from a distance, we can see who looks a bit uneasy. We know this, by the way, we can see them behaving. We also know that someone who is behaving uneasily will have uneasy thoughts. We suspect that their behaviour has been caused by what they are thinking. In fact, the process is happening right in front of our eyes. People with uneasy behaviours are indeed having uneasy thoughts. But, and here's the punchline, we now know that the uneasy behaviour is causing the uneasy thoughts. They don't really, the brain doesn't have a choice to think anything else when they're feeling that way. This is not as we usually imagine, that the uneasy thoughts are causing the uneasy behaviour. This is exactly the point that the Life Train programme will prove to you. You will, like riding a bicycle, have to experience this for yourself. So the last one, second last paragraph on the first part of the Life Train programme, is the effect that we have on life. This is very interesting. There are two angles to look at. One from the perspective of the person feeling the behaviour in terms of their own personal thoughts. And secondly, the perspective of someone who looks at you when you are subconsciously reacting to life in the way that you do. When you react, you feel what that reaction produces as feelings. Okay. These feelings then steer your thoughts towards conversation or assertions that mirror what you feel. So you enter into often a practice sort of set of thoughts. You go down the rabbit hole once your feelings have started this off. You've been kick-started by your body reacting. You have the feeling and your thoughts then disappear down the rabbit hole in what's called thought spirals. So when someone else sees you behaving in the way you do, their bodies react to you. Oh, let's see, what's this person doing? This changes their feelings, which in turn steers their thoughts and conversation, which helps them to align their feelings and thoughts with you. In that way, in the way that others react to you, they really, in effect, encourage you to keep doing what it is that you're doing. So other people sort of collude with you, that if you're doing something, other people join in. If you give someone an ugly stare and approach them and invade their personal space, then they're going to recoil or react or engage with you. If you're going to react to them in a way, and then you're into a pattern behavior, or both people are essentially in a pattern behavior, which then produces a well-defined outcome. So here's an experiment that you can do for yourself then, just to see if this is true. In the middle of a conversation, try smiling warmly at the person you're talking to, really for no reason at all. Just in the middle of a conversation, you're chatting to someone, put a big broad smile on your face, and you will be surprised to see the person you're talking to will smile back at you. Don't give them any clues, make a tense face, open on a frown, see what happens. You'll see that other people will do that back to you. Other people will allow us, when we're living in the world of our thoughts, will allow that to continue to happen, so that we're not given any explanation from the outside of how the world reacts to us, that we shouldn't be doing what it is that we're doing. People just collude with us. The Life Frame program will show you the possibilities of change once you become aware of these things. I realise this is just the first part of the Life Frame program, and I have been warned today that this does contain quite a bit of information for those people who are novices, and maybe we should encourage you to break this down into two. Actors are experts. You should consider this every time you're watching the TV or an advert for some sort of detergent. Actors are experts in encouraging us to sympathize with the thoughts they appear to be having. Wow, they look as if this is really enjoyable. Well, actually, what's happening is they're getting paid to do it. They use their bodies to transmit feelings to us that change the way we feel by the way we react to what they're doing, and they do this deliberately. Try changing the mood of a conversation by deliberately sending body signals that mean tension or seriousness or relaxation to the next person you speak to, particularly when that's not really in the habit of what it is that usually happens. Understanding the effect of body language can be enormously interesting and good fun too. Remember too that you will notice that you react to the body language of others. That's very important. And relationships start with people exchanging body language information, most of it happening completely unnoticed. We find a familiar body language conversation happening between couples that has similarities to the body language conversations that they had learned were normal from their childhood. And this isn't always an advantage. So you'll be glad to get more or less to the end of the first part of the Life Frame program. Thanks for listening to that. where to now? The information is just an introduction. It's supposed to get you started. You've been in the habit of thinking stuff and in the habit of doing stuff which has the potential to be endlessly self-destructive. We're trying to get you away from the notion of self-blame. The reason why this is happening to you is because there hasn't been a whole lot of choice up until now. The Lifetime Program is an attempt in order to give you some sort of choice so that you start to roll back on the sorts of things that perhaps that you have no idea that you have been taught. This is where we constantly make the observation that history keeps repeating itself. We keep behaving, reacting and steering ourselves through body language into the sets of circumstances that in large part sets of circumstances in which as children we suffered or we suffered an injustice or we felt that it was wrong, and then we suddenly find ourselves by the choreography of all this, by the dance that's passed from one to another, that we pass on these senses of injustice or negative feelings and the things that are thoughts in our head about negative. It's just the accompaniment to that. So hopefully we'll move on a bit with the second part of the Lifetime Program, and I hope I have not bored anybody to death. Thank you.